SeatGeek is a proud sponsor of Fantasy Focus Baseball. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you are searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or just need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. Saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you identify the best seats that fit your budget. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this fantasy-focused baseball get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I feel like we need sound for this. Maybe like the theme to ER or...
I can't do this all on my own. I'm no Superman.
There you go. That's our new injury song.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Good morning and welcome to Monday's Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's April 30th, 2018. Tomorrow will be May, a new month, new expectations in fantasy. I'm Eric. He is Tristan. And we've got with us today research assistant and occasional podcast producer Kyle Soppe, our editorial watchdog Leo Howe, and today's rotating digital producer is Gabe Bassane. Tristan, we got lots to discuss on today's show, wrapping up the weekend. Too many injuries, lots of combo meals, which is good. The injuries are not. Scheduled pitchers, hash browns. What's the number one thing you're thinking about in fantasy baseball right now?
I'm starting to look at my standings finally.
Oh,
not
so
really take. I'm not putting
not
a lot
May
of
yet.
Stock in them. Well, I know it's not May. I know I've started to look at them just to make sure that everything's staying in check and, you know, that I'm balancing my categories. You got to be doing that too at this point, right?
There is a league. You know what? What's interesting. I'd say maybe my two most important leagues, the one with something on the line. I'm in second place or roving in second place, and the guy in first is up like 20, at least in both leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I know better than to say that it's over. It's not. So I'm looking through the categories, and I actually checked the standings in those two leagues. One of them you guys are all in, and the other is labor. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I know I can come back and win this thing, but I don't want to like make too many moves right away. I don't have spots. Like, I know before the show you guys were talking about some free agents available in our office league, and yeah. I just don't have room for them. I have nobody to cut. Unless I cut Tyler Chatwood, and now that he's awesome, I can't do that. I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I did not cut Tyler Chatwood.
Yeah.
I kept him. He wasn't active. I'll say
you
that.
You do realize that league is over, right? Because the guy in first is like he's the magical manager.
I don't know how he does. He doesn't even
play. He's the magical manager. We had a dynasty league with him where he won like three straight years
by
30
points. Well, he
had all
the best pitchers. He had like four of the top 10 pitchers from draft day.
Yeah, I know.
But like, so I'll ask you before we buzz it. Like, what... if you look at the standings, what are you looking for? I mean, if a guy is up 20 or a gal in first and you're in second, I mean, obviously you don't say that's it, it's over, but do you start making moves or do you just say let the 6 months play out?
Well, this is a good time to start investing in the trade. So I'm looking for categorical balance. So to give the specific example from this league, I'm dead last in batting average and it's by more than 10 points. That's something that I think I might need to address in terms of trades. I have a surplus of pitching. I'm leading Ks by more than 20 at this point, which is not a huge lead, but it means that I might, if I run my projections for the rest of the year, need to make some tweaks, could shuffle some pitching over to the hitting side.
All right, let's buzz it. So I got a good look this week in Atlanta's offense. I've gotten a lot of good looks. I've already played the Phillies like three series already.
1,000 times. Yeah,
man,
it's like they're done for the year.
And,
it's weird. It's weird seeing these teams play each other like a week apart. That like the Rockies-Padres one, I think they played in Coors Field within 10 days of one another.
Yeah,
weird.
It's the schedule is strange. And then like you'll see like, I don't know, like you'll see the Phillies and the division opponent not playing until June. It's strange how the schedule goes. Atlanta's offense, I'm looking at the player rater for the past week. They have number one player over the past week. They have number three player and several others that were really relevant. I try to update my rankings, my season-long rankings every Monday. I keep moving Ozzie Albies up every time I do it because it looks like we misjudged the lack of power from the minor leagues. He didn't hit with any power in the minors. He's already got nine He can steal 30 bases, I think, if he wants. He's hitting for average. He's a five-category player. This looks like Mike Trout. I mean, the numbers right now look like Mike Trout, and there's no way that he should have this much power. And then on Sunday, the manager, Brian Snitker, had him leading off. He moved Ener Inciarte to the number nine spot. Of course, Inciarte is number one on the player radar for the past week. This offense and Ronald Acuna Jr. batting second, it's fantastic. And it doesn't matter who's playing third base. Your thoughts? Yeah.
It's a very exciting offense, and I think one that is underrated. It's one to track, especially over the next couple of years, so the dynasty angle definitely comes into play. But with Albies, it's really strange to see what he's doing. He was part of the question of the day this past Friday, and I was the one assigned Albies. And you're right, Eric. The power is completely unexpected. When I go to his FanGraphs page, we have, you know, like for some of these prospects who came up a couple of years ago, they actually have these little scouting grades. His best one in terms of raw power was 40. 40 on the 80 scout scale. It goes from 20 to 80. So that means they graded him as having below average power when he was coming up in the minors. And he's made a significant change this year where he's getting better lift on the ball. Like everybody in baseball, he's going a little bit more uppercut. The fly ball rate has increased. Ground ball rate is by far the lowest in his professional career. 47% fly ball rate and pretty good hard contact. Yeah. Is he trading some of the steals for power? I mean, we'll take it if he is.
I don't think he's trading anything for it. I mean, I think he could legitimately steal 25 bases if he wants to. He's batting first or second. Acuna Jr. looks terrific. And I know that there were some people that were trying to temper expectations. But, I mean, if he's batting second as opposed to sixth, watch out. Freddie Freeman we know is awesome. Nick Markakis, annually underrated. Now he's hitting for a little more power.
Great points league guy.
In points leagues. Inciarte is not. But he stole six bases in the past week. And I don't think he's going to be batting ninth every game. But, man, what a good offense. I don't even care about Jose Bautista. I'm glad they're out of town because I don't want to see them against the Phillies pitching anymore.
In fairness, I'll specify with Great here. Great makes it sound like he's an all-star. But no, that's not my point. It's that he's a forgettable name in roto leagues. That's been the case for several years. But he's absolutely relevant, and people don't realize it. That in points leagues, he's a very good guy to have as your fourth, fifth outfielder. There's a nice value in that.
How high can I move out? I'm not too much on the Braves here, but Albies... I want to see where I have him ranked. In my computer. I have him number 55 overall. He's going to move into my top 50. Acuna Jr. is already in my top 100. I'm going to keep moving him up. He can steal a base whenever he wants. He's so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, at what point is Albies... Look, I know we had the Gregorius conversation on our last show, and we don't need to go through that again. It's still only a month, you know, for Albies and Gregorius, and I know a lot of people think I'm crazy to think Gregorius can go 35-100, even though that's not that much higher than what he did last year. But Albies, I think if we were... I think he has to go into, like, my top 30. Is that too generous?
You've got to project his homer and steal total going forward.
But if you projected his home run total before the season at 12 and he's already got 9, something's changed, Tristan. He might hit 25 home runs.
But I don't think anybody had him at 12. I think most people were expecting he was going to get into the mid-teens here. Now if this is the player we're watching and that's going to be the player for 162 games, we have to adjust that to a clear 30 home runs. And I'm not trying to be aggressive with the projection. This is what he's doing. This is the same thing that we talked about with Ryan Zimmerman and Justin Smoke and Yonder Alonso. He's going for power. If it's 30 home runs, does he not really try to go for 25 steals? I wonder if it hovers somewhere in the 18 to 20 range. It's still going to be a top... I mean, at worst, it's a top 40 player if he's 30 and 18.
At what point is this Francisco Lindor? 2 months? 3 months? I know it sounds ridiculous. But
no,
at what point is this actually a guy we're looking at? It's like, this guy's... Corey Seager doesn't run. It's part of the reason I don't rank him as well as others. But Lindor does. Jose Ramirez does. If Albies is doing this...
I kid, but you don't know because it isn't crazy. Lindor is absolutely valid as a comp here. He is doing exactly what Lindor did last season.
All right, let's get lots of names in here while we have the first half of the show going. Nick Kingham of the Pirates made his major league debut on Sunday, and it went kind of well. Perfect game into the seventh inning. But if it was two hits and a walk into the seventh inning, nobody would have noticed. The difference here on guys like Sean Manaea, on Nick Kingham, it's amazing. Like, one bloop or one, you know, walk where the ump missed the call, and it changes everybody's opinion. Nick Kingham is not a top prospect. He's viewed as maybe a number three or four starter. Did that change for you in the past 24 hours?
No, I don't think anybody can react to this one game as anything more than he's established himself as a probable, and I mean, I'm not even saying with certainty, a probable member of the rotation in the Stephen Brault spot, so I do think he sticks around. They didn't demote him right after that outing. The interesting part about Kingham's development this year is he is missing bats, and he is throwing the slider a lot. So there could be something there. I absolutely think people should be considering the speculative bids, and that's probably larger than our 10-team mix. It's probably in 12-team plus. But yeah, throw a dart. Why not?
Is Kingham in the same category to you as Walker Buehler and Jack Flaherty?
Not close.
As a prospect, not close. But for 2018 performance?
Not close.
You don't think Kingham has just as good a shot to get as many starts? Or if not more?
I think he...
Rank them for right now.
For starts,
I'm trying to win
for
this
value?
Year. I'm trying to win my league this year. That's all I care about. I don't care about dynasty. I'm trying to win in 2018. Kingham, Flaherty, Buehler. I have one pitching spot open.
I will go Flaherty. I will go Buehler. I will go Kingham.
I tend to agree. Anything change your mind about Manaea's second outing? This was against Houston off the no-hitter, and he shut them down. One walk, seven strikeouts. The run was unearned. ERA and WHIP are great, but obviously they're going to regress. I still think he's like a low threes guy from here on out. Not for the season, because if you do that, then you just you can't. You can't just add it all together.
Then. Yeah.
Right. So from here on out, I'm viewing him as a 3.25 ERA guy. What do you view him as?
I think that's a very fair projection. I would have thought somewhere in the low threes in the ERA. So we're probably spot on with the ERA projection. Wrote him up last week, and as a matter of fact, this is one of the players who the forecaster projections module really likes, and has warmed to quicker than most of the other pitchers in the grid. You should have started him for this one. I remember giving him a projection where he was a clear starter. This, I wrote him up as a clear starter. I think he's made some key adjustments that are going to pay off. You can read that piece. It goes way more in depth than we will here. But the release point. The release point is very Chris Sale-esque. And I've heard other people make this comp, is that he's getting a certain amount of deception. It's very hard to pick up the ball. I think that's sustainable.
All right, another lefty, Blake Snell at Tampa Bay. Every outing's a good one, and he just won at Boston. 24 strikeouts, one walk in his past three starts. Manaea has obviously been great of late. And then there's Luis Castillo of the Reds, who was great last year, and right now he looks unrosterable. ERA of 7.85, but the Reds over the weekend said they might have spotted a mechanical flaw. Maybe he was tipping his pitches. I don't want to forget what this guy did in 2017. So I'll ask you, Manaea, Castillo, and Snell, rank them for the rest of the season.
Gotta go Manaea at this point, and the other two I mean because of the raw skill I can flip the coin between them. I think it is wiser to go with the hotter hand on the pitching side generally when I think there's upside for both of them, so I'll go Snell here.
Castillo's on the most drop list. I mean, nobody wants him anymore,
and
you still think
I
he can
that.
Bounce back, right? I mean, this could be Kevin Gausman. The guy just he has the ability to be a top 30 starter. Yeah,
and that's a great comp, actually, Kevin Gausman, because I could have endorsed cutting him in the shallow mix last year because it was such a lengthy period of time for him to make the adjustments. And then you probably could have gotten him back very easily around the All-Star break when you started to see some of the adjustments he made. He made a move on the rubber that you might have seen in one of those games, and then that would have caused you to pick him up. Maybe that's Castillo's story, that there's another 4 to 6 bad outings, but during those, you watch him closely, you see something change, and that's when you go and you pick him back up.
Talk injuries now. I feel like we need sound for this. Maybe like the theme to ER or Chicago Med or something. I don't know what
Scrubs,
whatever shows
right?
are out. Scrubs. Oh, yeah. Can you sing Scrubs?
Oh, can I remember the song?
Let's play Jiggly Ball.
I can't do, what is it? I can't do this all on my own. I'm no Superman.
There you go. That's our new injury song. Shohei Ohtani will not pitch on Tuesday, but he will be the designated hitter. I don't understand why. If you want him to get healthy from a sprained ankle, why use him at all? But you know what? His value has changed a lot in the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? I mean, he hasn't pitched as well. He hasn't hit as much. He's pitched like once in a week and a half. And
he
homered off
Severino.
He did. And look, he can homer off anybody. We've seen that. He homered off Kluber. What he can't do is play regularly. So I'm going to ask you, and that a sprained ankle was running the bases. I'm shocked they're going to let him hit. I really am. So he's literally not going to pitch this week. If you have him, you're going to have to use him as a hitter in an ESPN league.
Yeah.
He's not going to be pitching.
Yeah.
Isn't this ridiculous? Like, I were like, look, the talent's unbelievable. But his value, I don't want him. I want to trade him away. Because I can't count on him.
Now's not the time to do it. I mean,
of course
I think
not, but I can't count on him. Can you count on him?
No, and the injuries, I mean, and that's all it is. The injuries are extremely bothersome because I remember coming into this season, people were completely ignoring the fact that he had some pretty significant injuries last year. That's something to watch for this season. It's why you and I were projecting a very low innings pitch total, is that this guy was going to have to be maintained very closely. But to have these two things that are different within a 10-day period of one another, I'm concerned too.
I would sit him this week in a mixed league. I don't know how you can play
him. Oh, yeah.
He's going to bat in two games this week. Don't use him.
Yeah, I mean, you can't risk him if he's injured, so maybe you get two starts on the hitting side. He's not even guaranteed a start in the Seattle series. He's not pitching until at least Friday.
And they're facing lefties. Other injuries here, we have a DL stint for Will Myers of San Diego yet again, and Yasiel Puig. Who would you rather have the rest of the season?
I'd rather have Myers, but I feel like Myers' raw power is greater than the two. I think Puig's numbers are a little more replaceable.
Puig's off to a terrible start, by the way. Alex Verdugo called up.
Puig still doesn't hit lefties. I don't get it.
I can't understand it. I'm in a sim league. I can't use him against lefties. I'm platooning him the wrong way.
He's that bad. I mean, it's inexplicable. I mean, a right-handed batter this poor against lefties, I don't get it.
Any interest in Alex Verdugo, who was called up this weekend? I assume they replace Puig, but who
yeah, Verdugo was the guy I mentioned as could establish himself as a regular for the Dodgers. I think that the prospect star was bright enough to make this case. I'm not so sure he's here to stick. I think it's another dart throw.
Two players who are not on the DL as of the timing of this show, but could be by the time the game starts today. Robbie Ray of the Arizona Diamondbacks. You want Cespedes of the Mets. Your thoughts on each? Ray has to go on the DL today, doesn't he? Or Tuesday or Wednesday. You can't play him. You can't leave him active.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're really hedging on him making that next start makes me think, you know...
Fernando Oblique, it's a four-week injury.
Right, I know. But, I mean, like, the thing with Arizona, too, is even if they believed he was going to beat that timetable, can they manipulate the rotation? Actually, looking at it, they can't. But I lean towards both of them. Yeah, I'd keep him on the sidelines.
And Cespedes says he's going to miss three games. Maybe he plays this weekend.
You got to sit him, then.
Do you? I mean, how many teams have, like, in an NL only, you don't have a better option than Cespedes three games? In a standard mix, you probably do. But, like, yeah, you feel good about playing, like, Kevin Pillar over Cespedes? Half a week of Cespedes? I don't know. I mean,
well, let's see Toronto's schedule.
You picking up Daniel Palka?
The extra game.
Okay. Any other injuries? I'm trying to think here. All right, moving on. Let's talk about the combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal.
All right, lots of combo meals over the weekend. Gene Segura, Seattle. Chris Taylor of those Dodgers. Ozzie Albies is so good. Adam Duvall of the Reds. He's finally starting to hit and run a little. And Jose Reyes of the Mets. Any thoughts on any of these players? Looks like Segura, Taylor, and Albies are rostered in every single league. Duvall's been dropped in a lot of leagues. I can't make a case for the Mets infielder. I guess Duvall's the question here. Do you add him now? No, that doesn't sound like it. I agree.
Yeah, not for this. I mean, he's not a stolen base guy. I mean, yeah, he's got two so far, and he's projected for a career high. But, I mean, come on, he's usually like right around the five number at the end of the year. I mean, he might not steal another base all year for all we know.
Right, but he also might hit 30 home runs, which he's done each of the past two seasons. And
might,
his power
might.
Is valuable. He's at four home runs. He's batting 177. I have to assume that BABIP is playing a role there. Actually, it's not. Yes, it is. 191. So he's not going to bat 177 all year. He might hit 260 the rest of the way.
I'll say this for him. He does have a schedule this week that works very nicely in his favor. He's going to play at least three left-handed starters. He's facing the Brewers and the Marlins rotations. Those teams are hittable.
Brent Suter out of Milwaukee's rotation and Wade Miley in, so that ought to help Duvall. A brief time now, closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Hey, look, I've got Fernando Rodney in a bunch of leagues, and I know there's reason for concern. He blew three straight saves, and then he got the next save chance. It's going to take a lot more than three consecutive blown saves to take him out of the role for Addison Reed. Don't you agree?
They do want to use Addison Reed at spots that they can, you know, maximize his potential. And the other thing to remember about that Rodney game is Reed gave up a run himself in that very last game, the third one in a row. But I am concerned. I worry that Rodney doesn't have it and isn't going to be able to keep this up all season. But it's not today.
I think he can get 30 saves. I mean, he's the only one. Me and Paul Mahler are the only ones. But
I will give him an over-under of 17.5 saves.
I'm sure you will.
No, take it. What do you got?
Over.
Let's
30 is over 17.
I'm going under.
I'm sure.
What do we got from the group?
And the group's going to say under because nobody believes.
Over 17.
Every year, Tristan, he keeps the job.
Okay. I think.
This is the year he just
We have another older player who's going to be debated this week. It's in a different sport, apparently, and I think you and I are going to be buttonheads over this.
I'm not saying a word.
I believe that they are the same age.
I'm not
as
even
Rodney
coming
Eve.
In. I don't even know where I'm staying. Believe it or not, Baltimore, Brad Brock pitched the sixth inning yesterday. Clearly, Darno Day is their closer until Zach Britton returns, right? Just drop Brock at this point.
Brock has not, yeah, I mean, he has
not,
not been
pitching well.
He's not missing bats like he did 2 years ago, and that's been going on for a while.
Miami's next save chance? Is it Ziegler or is it Barclay?
Billy the Marlin.
Well, they're going to get a save. Look, even 60-win teams get, you know, 30 save chances.
Yeah, I know. I know. Barclay is, I mean, you and I have both been interested in him
and
for a while.
We have, and that was he struck out the side to get that save.
Uh-huh.
But they, do teams really believe they can't trade players like Brad Ziegler unless they are getting saves?
I don't
think they believe that anymore.
Yeah, the other is, what exactly are you going to get for Brad Ziegler? You're
in real life, not
yeah,
fantasy.
Like a dart throw, low-level minor leaguer.
Yeah.
I don't, I mean, yeah, okay, you could trade the contract away, and that saves you the trouble, saves you a couple of bucks, but I don't think they're going to go with, I don't know. And Ziegler's been bad this year.
For everybody who's dropping Greg Holland, I understand why, but he got the save chance over the weekend. Bednarz pitched the eighth inning, and Holland got the ninth, and he didn't get anybody out, and he was terrible. He's going to get more save chances. They're not going to give up on him. I really believe that. Don't you? I know I'm waffling a little bit here because I thought for sure Bednarz was the guy, and then he wasn't.
But I know why you did it, and I was with you on that, in that he was the one who had the better stuff at the time. And I, you know, frankly, I still think he does. Holland is not the same pitcher we saw last year, at least not today.
That's irrelevant, though. I mean, all that matters is what Matheny thinks. I don't want to climb into
Rodney-esque.
That
Rodney-esque. It's Fernando Rodney-esque.
Yes, who has a longer, well, I don't want to say longer leash because Holland doesn't have the job. I mean, the next save chance, I can't believe it's Holland, but... All right, moving on to the schedule. First game of today is at 6:10 p.m. Eastern Time. Cole Hamels and Trevor Bauer. So you have time, but you don't have until 7 o'clock to set your lineups for the week. Oh, there's a game on ESPN. How about that? It's the Rockies and the Cubs, Kyle Freeland and John Lester. Any interest there? I mean, Lester at home against the Rockies should be fine. Kyle Freeland away from Coors Field.
It's a streak for the cash game. I'm sitting here trying to choose between the two, whether to go with the Texas-Cleveland game or the Colorado and Chicago, which doesn't matter at all, the fantasy. I'll give Lester the go here. I have been impressed, and I've watched each of his past two starts. I'm a little more impressed than I was expecting I'd be.
I mean, Freeland, obviously because of the Coors Field factor, that's not good. But the way the Bears and the Cubs have hit, the last outing for Freeland was 7 shutout innings against the Padres at home, 3 hits, football in my mind. And you can make a case for him as a usable guy. I don't know where the Rockies are next weekend. But
because it's a Monday game, strategically speaking, you're in a league that has the somewhat tight starts cap. How do you approach Kyle Freeland in this matchup? I mean, I look at it as kind of a below-average one. It's not a bad one.
I agree with that. But Chris Bryant, clearly something's still wrong.
Yep.
Anthony Rizzo, clearly something's still wrong. And Schwarber against the lefty. So to me, this looks like a pretty good opportunity. Now, yes, if this game was on a Sunday, I'd be much more apt in a weekly league to use him. But I still feel like getting a head start, too. And this is a good, to me, this is actually a fine matchup. So
do you think, do you think he has a little bump in the K rate? Do you believe
in
that?
I haven't seen
a Freeland game this year. I don't know.
I haven't either. The last outing was good, but it was a Padre game, so who knows. ESPN Plus late tonight, last game of the day. Jeff Samardzija at home against the Padres. Samardzija is a 2-star guy this week. Do you like or not like?
I actually do like. I gave him a pretty good projection and ranking. I do.
Sonny Gray at Houston, you can't. You're right. I mean, I know you've obviously watched him closer than I have as a Yankee, but he looks awful. The numbers look terrible.
It goes beyond the Gary Sanchez thing. We were, you know, that narrative has now been going on since last year during the postseason. It's more than that. There's something off with Sonny Gray's command, and it's got to get fixed before he's relevant. And that's even in AL-only leagues.
And this happens, okay? I mean, you should try not to cut him in even a standard, right? Even a 10-team points. Try to keep him around?
In a 10-team points, it's a different story. There's probably a lot out there on the free agent list, but anything that's larger than that, he should be firmly on your bench and stay there till he gets something fixed here. The Yankees are going to be patient with him and try and work through this.
Speaking of patience, Tuesday, John Gray's at Chicago's Wrigley Field.
He had a good game the other...
he did. He had a great game.
Was it the last one or the one before?
I think it was the last game. He struck everybody out. He didn't walk anybody. It was 6 shutout innings, I think.
Now, what drives me crazy about him is that he often shows those outings at Coors Field and not on the road. Which goes, it's counterintuitive here. I lean towards a yes, but you can hear I'm hesitant.
This Dodgers Diamondback series is really interesting. I mean, you can make the case two top teams in the division. Kershaw's facing Matt Koch on Tuesday at Arizona. I guess it's Koch. I'm not sure.
It's Koch.
I don't have any real concerns about Kershaw. You shouldn't have any concerns whatsoever about Kershaw, but No, I'm not going to say
Do you feel
anything.
A little better about the pitchers here based on the early returns on the humidor?
How can you make any early returns on the humidor? I was about to ask you that. What do you possibly know from, what, 10 home games?
Yeah, but remember, we did run some projections during the preseason, and so far it's running according to plan. The last, and I haven't checked since last night's update, but it was leaning a little bit towards the pitching side, so I would say it is grading in that neutral range, somewhere between 11 and 20 in the overall park factor.
I feel like I need, like, 2 years to know this.
I'd agree, but, okay. But remember, we had this approach to Chase Field that it was one of the worst environments for a pitcher. I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. Do not be afraid just because of the past history.
Wednesday Night Baseball on ESPN, it's Luis Severino and Dallas Keuchel, and those are two very good pitchers. Your Yankee offense, man. It's incredible.
Have you looked at Gary Sanchez's splits here? The first nine games, he practically didn't touch the ball.
Yeah, no.
And he's been on a massive tear lately.
He's my one catcher in a head-to-head, and I actually won the week because of the home run last night. So I'm very happy about that.
Nice. Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I have no concerns about that offense. I do think Neil Walker might get DFA'd in about 2 weeks. But all right, moving along. If you love fantasy baseball, then you need to try Fantasy Baseball Players' favorite app. It's Draft. It's daily fantasy baseball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long leagues. Drafts last for one night, and once you're done drafting, that is it. No trades, no waiver wire. Just set it and forget it. And the best part, play for cold, hard cash and get paid out the next day. Drafts start from just a dollar, so there's a draft for everyone. Draft is a totally unique fantasy experience. No fitting players under a salary cap. No competing with another player who has your exact same lineup. The snake draft setup allows for a completely exclusive roster. Say you draft Mike Trout. No one else can use him in their lineups. Draft is revolutionizing the way fantasy sports are being played. Join fantasy players across the world on Draft today. Just search Draft in your app store or play right from your computer or draft.com. And for a limited time only, all fantasy-focused baseball listeners get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code FOCUS. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using the promo code FOCUS when you make your first deposit. So search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and enter the promo code FOCUS. Like Kyle's music better.
I tried. I'll be back Thursday. Don't you worry.
So you're producing on Thursday, Kyle?
Thursday, live show.
Well, they're all live, Kyle.
And we can harass him live.
Yeah, live on the air.
But
that'll be good.
What's changing on Thursday is that we will all be in Bucolic Bristol together. Normally we're not, folks, full disclosure. Oh, those guys are, Kyle and the Watchdog and whoever's producing that day. But Tristan and I are not. But on Thursday we will be because we're in town in Bucolic Bristol for the Fantasy Football Summit meetings, which I'm sure there's going to be some kind of social media stuff going on there, and I'm sure there's going to be a podcast. So, Kyle, please, before we start with the baseball questions, tell us what's happening with Matthew and Field and the Fantasy Focus Football podcast. I assume there's going to be one today, and then the social media implications of our 3 day summit.
Sure. We do have a podcast today, taping at 1 o'clock this afternoon, so that'll be out mid to late afternoon to get you prepped on everything you need to know from the draft that was and the summit that will be, and then we'll be bringing you everything on ESPN Plus throughout the summit. Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll be chopped up into nice little videos. We'll get everything for you. We'll get your fantasy football fix. And then we get a live fantasy-focused baseball podcast on Thursday to get you covered on all sports.
Believe it or not, you gave me some information I did not know. Let's get to some of the baseball questions here because there are listeners to the show. We know there's listeners to the show that love football as well. And football's huge, so we're not going to pretend it doesn't exist. But let's get to some baseball questions.
Sure. We've got Show Baseball on Twitter who wants an extra shout out here because his birthday's on 0601. So that's
wow.
Nice.
It's kind of a true fan, or his parents were true fans. No, he wasn't born in zero. That'd make him a little too old to use the Twitter machine. But we were talking about Sonny Gray earlier. He's got him and Marcus Stroman burning holes in his roster right now. Does he hold on to one, neither, both, or bail?
It depends on what kind of a league it is, right, Tristan? I mean,
yeah.
if it's an AL only, you got to wait and hope. Right? If you're in an AL only and you've got guys that are like, look, if I had Luis Castillo in NL labor, I wouldn't win unless he turns it around. That's the
right.
Bottom line. You're not going to be able to trade him.
People hate this advice. They do when we have to say, you just stash him on your bench and wait and hope, because unfortunately, it's the right answer. I mean, there's nothing you could do with these guys. If you're going to trade him away, you are giving them away at what, a quarter on the dollar at best? No one's going to want them.
Yeah, but, you know, the way to turn around a bad ERA is to trade for a guy like this, isn't it? I mean, say you've got Sonny Gray. See, I would argue if I had Sonny Gray on a team, I wouldn't want to trade him away and get Stroman. I think they're both going to improve their ERAs. They're both going to shell him in half. I mean, Stroman's got an 8.88. He's going to end up below four, isn't he? Or around four?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to sweat exactly where they're going to end up. It's what they're going to offer you from this point forward. And, yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, I think there's much better odds the two of them have ERAs that are beneath four from today forward, which is all that matters. But I don't think they're going to be elite in ERA, either one. I don't think by nature they're those types of players.
If you projected Stroman to have an ERA of, say, four, and we probably both had better, maybe 360, 370, unless there's something wrong with him physically, mentally, mechanically, he should, from here on out, in theory, not have an ERA of 888, because they won't leave him in the rotation to do that for 6 months. He should have an ERA of around what you expected. That's what I've been doing with Gregorius all along. Gregorius can fake his way to 100 RBI now. He needs like 12 a month. So that's why with Stroman and Gray, you got to keep them. And in a standard league, I mean, if we look at the most added drop list, of course, they're not being added. And of course, I mean, who are they being dropped for? I mean, like, you're dropping... You can't drop Marcus Stroman to pick up Nick Kingham, can you, Tristan? Right? That doesn't make any sense.
The only case I can make for that is that you're trying to stream starters, in which case, all right, but I'm not... I don't like giving that as blanket advice. I don't think it helps anybody other than you need to take your team in the streaming direction. The problem I have with Gray and Stroman is they don't get the Ks that you need in order to be locked-in guys, even at their best. I think you do have to think about matchups, even though you're going to start them for the vast majority. Gray... The Austin Romine thing with Sonny Gray is simply about he's a guy who relies so much on his breaking pitches, he needs a guy that he has the confidence will block them if they're in the dirt. And Gary Sanchez doesn't do that. But it's more than that. Stroman? Biggest issue with Stroman is the control. Have you looked at his zone rate? It's 40% right now. His walk rate's what, 12 right now? These are really bad numbers for his, you know, career tendency.
Have you seen the home runs for Josh Tomlin? I have him in my score sheet league. I'm going to just bench him. I mean, you know, and I don't have enough starters, but I'd rather go with, like, pitcher AAA. He's given up 10 home runs in 18 and two-thirds innings.
And this is a guy I was looking into. This is a super deep sim league that you and I have where I was looking into him, and I play in Yankee Stadium in that one. That seems like a really bad idea.
Tomlin
with the fly ball tendency. Yeah. Matchups.
Last year, 23 home runs and 141 innings. He's going to do that in 30 innings this year. All right, what's next?
Yeah.
All right, so we talked about the pitching versions of people you might cut. We've got a few questions as far as hitters go. Mike has Carlos Santana, and Andrew has Matt Carpenter. Both very frustrated, wondering what to do.
Nothing. I have Santana on a number of teams. Carpenter, wow, 155. But, like, you look at the walk rate. What's the hard hit rate? The hard hit rate's... You know, I think they tell us more than the walk rates at this point, because Santana and Carpenter are annual walkers. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. But I do look at BABIP, probably more so than you, more so than I should. And when a guy has a 190 BABIP, I say, all right, I'm not worried. Santana, I watch every game. He doesn't look like himself. He's hit a lot of balls to the track. His hard hit rate's fine. Last I looked, I didn't look at it right now.
It is actually quite good. In fact, I think he's trending
towards
a career high.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying on both these guys, and I'm more comfortable buying on Carpenter and Santana than I am on the pitchers, because the pitchers, they may be hurt, and you're not strikeout guys anyway, but I probably projected Santana for 28 homers and 80 RBI once I knew he was going to bat second consistently. I'm not varying off that, and I still think he hits 250 the rest of the year, which is what I thought he would have hit.
I'm going to stick with the theory here that it's the league switch, that he is adjusting to new pitchers he was a little less familiar with. Because Eric, as you said, the metrics are supporting him here. He has a very low zone rate as well. In other words, people are trying to pitch around him a lot, and maybe they're just trying to see just how truly patient he is. He's a little bit more fly ball oriented, which I think is a good thing in that park. With you on the batting average, I still think there's a very good homer upside here, especially in a points league where he's tremendously underrated. I'm going to go ahead and buy low here on Carlos Santana, and I'm hearing people being negative on him. Carpenter... The only problem is the injury question. Is he playing at 100%? That's the one thing I want an answer to.
Yeah, and if he's not, then this could go on for 6 months. But he can't hit 155 all year. He would hit 250 from here on out. And his batting average was in question to start the season. He batted only 241 last year. I don't know. I'm still not all that worried about either one of them. Sorry.
Carpenter's hard contact rate, however, is down to 37. It's usually in the low 40s.
Looks like all he's trying to do is walk. At least Santana's hitting the ball hard. Santana's hit so many to like the warning track in the last couple weeks. That doesn't mean they will be homers, but
temperatures
pretty good
up.
Track record. And when temperatures warm up, the baseballs fly even further.
And that park is good for power, isn't it?
It's more in the middle than people realize, but yes, it's on the plus side. So, all right, what's next?
Those guys are struggling a bit. Mitch Haniger, struggling. He's the sixth best hitter on our player radar right now, and Travis wants to know what we can expect from him the rest of the way and how long until he gets a good nickname given this level of production.
Well, yeah, it's the important thing, the nickname. I wrote about Haniger today. Obviously, we all remember what he did last April. He was a superstar, and it really wasn't even the entire month of April. Didn't he get like hurt like in the third week or something? So he basically just had a hot couple weeks last year. Then he was in the DL for a while. He came back. He did nothing. He's like, I don't want to say he's an all or nothing. He's 27 years old. He's been around. I mean, he's only been in two franchises, but he wasn't supposed to be this. Is this just a good start? This seems like a guy who's going to calm down really soon. Doesn't bat at the top of a lineup. I have concerns. He seems like a sell high to me. And I've got him on a bunch of different teams, as you know. But, I mean, what if this continues? I mean, not to this degree, but he's not a 300 hitter.
No, he's not. He's also not he's not worlds off it.
This is not BABIP.
It's not BABIP. I mean, point about last season, first 21 games before he got hurt, 342, 447, 608. And this year, he is at 309, 384, 701. So the slugging percentage is slightly higher. But he's kind of off to the same scorching start. And I'm not trying to suggest I think an injury is what's going to change this. It's just...
I don't want to assume he's brittle. How can we
That's not the point. It's just... Some guys do start hot, and then we get an exaggerated opinion of them. I think he's 280, and I mean, you and I were both probably on the, like, he's 275 and 25, right?
That's fair, but now don't we have to up that a little bit? Maybe not the batting average, but...
But the point is the projection going forward.
30?
I mean, would we go to 280 and 30 scaled to remaining games going forward? Is that what Mitch Haniger is? I think that's a little generous, but not much.
Look, the reason why I've been so big on this Gregorius thing is all he needs to do is hit like four or five homers a month to reach 35 from here on out. Haniger to reach 25 home runs, it's not even that much. I mean, he's already at 10. So if you say to somebody for the rest of the year he's going to hit 20 home runs or he's going to finish at 30, they view that differently. That's why we do that, I think.
Right. Right.
You know,
actually,
it's the same with ERA. I mean, we say the guy, Marcus Stroman from here on out, 4 ERA, but he still finishes at 450. They view those numbers very differently.
Actually, Haniger, yeah, looking at the batted ball metrics, 49% fly ball, 44% hard contact rate.
That's good.
Those are increases. That's another guy who's doing what everybody's doing. They're swinging for the fences.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a right-handed hitting outfielder who he comps to me as, because he takes his walks. I mean, this is a guy who will take a walk. He's not striking out at level.
Is he prime? Well, is it? Adam Jones.
No, he walks more than that. A lot more than that.
I'm thinking the traditional rotisserie statistics, not the overall player here.
Jones used to steal like 15 bases. I guess to a degree, but trending up. I mean, I was gonna. Why can't he be Justin Upton?
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, it's not as much of a K rate, but Upton will take a walk, Upton will pull, Upton hits all fields. That's what Haniger's doing.
Yeah, the K rates aren't the same, but otherwise I like it. It's kind of where I'm going with Jones, that if you take the walks out of the equation, they're similar.
And those guys are top 20 outfielders. Am I ready to call Haniger a top 20? Let me see where I had him. There's no way I had him a top 20 outfielder.
And in comparison to those two players, neither one has shown any hint of an injury history. So Haniger did miss time last year. Do we penalize him for last year's injury?
I have Haniger as my number 31 outfielder. He'll move up today because there's guys that are dropping. Like Byron Buxton, he's going to go to like number 40. I've had enough. Byron Buxton, my number 26 outfielder. He's not coming off the DL anytime soon. Didn't he hurt a toe while he was rehabbing? Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. Billy Hamilton, not done, but not in my top 30 outfielders. Ryan Braun, out. Adam Eaton, trending out. Haniger might end up in my top 20 outfielders today. I can't believe I'm saying that. I thought last year it was real until he got hurt. So I think some of this is real. I think this is a 30 home run guy. Yeah, I'm in. I convinced myself. I'll redo my copy.
30 at the end. You can easily sell me on that. Yep.
One more question. What do we got, Kyle?
Sure, we're looking with Luke Weaver. Matthew notes that he had a 2.08 ERA in his first three starts, a 9-flat ERA in the 3 cents. Is he a boom-bust type of pitcher, or will he eventually iron things out and live up to the potential we think he has?
It's your guy, Tristan. If I had to name 10 pitchers that are your guys, not to the degree that Kyle loves Chatwood, but like your guys, Weaver's like at the top of the list.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's wrong here?
Well, the control has not been especially good in the past three, especially that game against the Mets.
With one outing where he walked six.
But that's a problem. Even on the one start sample, that's a problem. You can't be doing that. Not with his...
Kershaw walked six in his last outing. Maybe it's an aberration.
And that's the only reason... You know, that's a problem, too, and it's the only thing that I was bothered by in that Kershaw outing. But... I'm still optimistic here. I mean, the thing with Weaver last year where the ERA wasn't as good as you expect is that he ran into a lot of bad luck, but the skills were amazing. All the command numbers supported him being a true breakthrough option, and it was road Cubs, road Pirates around that Mets game. Pirates are hitting. Pirates are doing a lot better than I expected, and I don't think pitching at Wrigley Field is all that great a matchup for him either, so I'm going to buy here. I'm still a believer.
Weaver was my number 32 starting pitcher in last week's rankings. I can't keep with that. That six-walk outing scared me. Guys like Charlie Morton will move ahead of him. Porcello will move ahead of him. Bumgarner, who I think is going to be back. He might be back in May. Mm-hmm. Bumgarner is going to move up quite a bit. He's going to become a top... He might be in like my number 25 starting pitcher starting today, because I think he's coming back within 4 weeks.
I wouldn't Blake dispute Snell. Any of those. I think those are fair.
Yeah. Yep. So Luke Weaver will be out of my top 40, but not to be dropped. And, you know, try to be a little bit patient. So a final question for me. Tomorrow's May 1st. Does anything change for you? Do you take slumps more seriously now? It's a month. We say don't look at the standings in April. We look at them in May. But does anything change for you starting this week?
I mean, the key thing that matters here is the samples are getting sizable enough to make some judgments. And as I remind people, you always want an answer for stuff. This is why we're trying to break down exactly what's behind a lot of these slow starts or hot starts and adjust your projections. I think we are at that point where it's very fair to make significant adjustments to your projections.
Tuesday's National Loyalty Day, according to Kyle. We thank you so much for being loyal to the Fantasy Focus Baseball 06010. We really do appreciate it. We're a twice-a-week show. We're going to continue for the rest of the summer that way. But don't forget about our friends on the Fantasy Focus Football as well. We'll be in bucolic Bristol this week doing a show Thursday, all in the same place. For Tristan, for Kyle, for Leo and Gabe, and for everybody who makes this show great and sticks with us, we appreciate it. Have an awesome day.
Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.